Welcome to White Shores, the podcast for spiritual beings having a human experience. Let me invite you to walk once more beside me on White Shores to talk about the real meaning of life and the true power of what is unseen. Let's discuss dreams, intuition, manifesting, as above, so below, angels, afterlife, the science of consciousness, and other infinite possibilities within and all around you. I hope every episode informs, inspires, and illuminates. So, now the scene is set. Allow the grey rain curtain of this world to roll back and all to turn to silver glass. Let's walk barefoot together on the gentle, glistening sands of White Shores to see what mystery lies beyond the material. Thank you for arriving safely on White Shores, a far green country under a swift sunrise. My amazing guest today is a lady I've been wanting to talk to for a long time, but we haven't been able to coordinate our schedules because she's super busy. But I'm absolutely delighted that she's here to speak to us today. Her name is Bridget Finclair. She's an author and spiritual teacher with almost 30 years of experience. She is qualified and experienced physiotherapist, hypnotherapist and healer, and was a professional therapist in London's Harley Street. Now, she deserted us here in the UK in 2012 for Cape Town, which is our loss, but it was South Africa's gain. Because, no, you're not living in South Africa now, are you?
Yes, I'm here in South Africa.
Because you went and you fell in love. You must have met someone out there, or were you married before?
No, I met someone out here.
Oh, the interview's starting. Sorry, forgive me. Anyway, she loves teaching, writing and speaking and weaving together the threads of her spiritual and professional journeys. She designed the Bone Circle. Oh, that sounds like something that should be in Silent Witness. The Bone Circle, a unique, transformative and life-changing program that ties together three significant areas of expertise: intuition and creating, the sacred and the metaphysical, the therapy and the healing. I'm all in for that. Now, she's taught many, many courses, and then she's going to share that herself rather than me just reading out her awesome biography. But her intention is to awaken people, and that's why she's on this podcast, because all the awesome guests I've got have share that goal to their higher purpose and a more joyful and harmonious life. She does this through creating awareness, providing a higher path of consciousness, teaching how to tap into our intuition, and setting up support groups that can work together powerfully to create positive change. Her favourite saying is an African one: if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Oh, I love that. She believes we need to go together. My goodness, don't we need to do that more today in supporting a new evolution in consciousness. Hello, Bridget.
Hello, Teresa, and thank you so much for inviting me and also for that introduction. Is that really me?
I'm so sorry about that. But first of all, I'm going to talk a bit more about you and your life afterwards. But first of all, let's just jump right in with your book, which really is fantastic and something I want to talk about. It's a work of fiction, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's loosely based on events of my own life, and a lot of the spiritual aspects within the book, Red Dress, I have done. So, for example, she has her soul contract read. She goes to do aura soma. She does yoga. She does meditation. So everything actually within the novel, within the story, is a real thing that the reader can pick up on and go and do. So although it's a fiction,
I realize, gosh, I'm good at this, aren't I, that I haven't actually said the title of the book is The Red Dress, of course. And when you're talking about she, you're talking about the lead character, Katie.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Thank you for that. We've just got ahead of ourselves because we got overexcited. That's all it is.
I know. Well, the thing is, I've had your book around for a while, so I kind of feel I know it. But of course, people listening don't, and they're thinking, shut up, Teresa. Let this lady speak. So please talk about your book, set the scene, why you wrote it, why fiction. Actually, fiction, you know, one of my books that really moved me was A Celestine Prophecy. That was fiction too. Mm. Fiction, like The Alchemist, they can really hit home when non-fiction, where I specialize in, doesn't sometimes, but I think fiction reads can really get spiritual points across. Okay, I will shut up now. Over to you.
No, not at all. It's absolutely perfect, because that's exactly why I wrote this a fiction. Interestingly, you know, with the background that I have, it would have been relatively, I'm not saying it's easy to write any book, and I know that you are very prolific in your writing, but it would have been much easier for me to write a non-fiction, and there were several subjects I could have chosen. But I work with my intuition, and I have to walk my talk, and that intuitive voice and my own guidance was going, no, you're going to write a fiction. And I'm going, what, me? You're kidding me. I don't know anything about writing fiction. But actually, the purpose of writing it was to make it a really entertaining read that you can get into, a page turner. You can laugh at the character Katie as she goes on her spiritual journey of awakening and finding herself. So I wanted to make it light-hearted and accessible, but still put pearls of wisdom in there, because like you, I very rarely get time these days to read a novel and really get into it. And when you get a spiritual novel, it's so rewarding because you're getting the story. And I think when the conscious mind is tied up with the story and the characters and what's unfolding in the plot, all of the spiritual stuff is being taken in by the subconscious. So somehow it goes in at a deeper level. There's something about you being in that kind of almost hypnotic space that a story takes you into, because you get into the characters and you start to empathize with them and you start to think, oh, that's a bit like me, or oh, I don't think that, or and you get lost. You get into that suspended space, which is almost hypnotic. So those wisdom pearls can drop in and slip in very gently through the story. So that was my reason for writing it. So Red Dress is set in London. I lived in London for a long time and I love London. So a lot of my old favourite haunts are in there. And it was really great fun to be sitting on the end of the Cape. I started writing it in the winter in the middle of a storm, and you can understand why it's called the Cape of Good Hope, and there are ships wrecked here. But sort of sitting here writing about London was interesting. So it's set in London. She's a very busy career mum in her 40s who is completely stressed out. And I think a lot of women relate to that. Trying to juggle everything, hey. So yeah, she's trying to juggle her looking after her two teenage children. The husband's a bit frosty. He's not a very nice character, really. It's a bit of a loveless marriage. She's lost herself. She's feeling quite down. She is a therapist. Because I wanted to also get into the story of Red Dress, what it's like to go for therapy, because I think a lot of people are quite nervous about that. They don't want to be labelled as having a problem or having to go to therapy. And it was just to kind of show the reader, if you like, how helpful it can be to just analyse things and have a look at things and look at therapies. Also includes stuff about 12-step, and it also goes on this spiritual path as ways of awakening and finding self. But along the way, it's fun, and she's got her friends and gang of people that are helping her, and there's a few twists and there's a romantic interest as well. So the idea was to get all of this stuff into a fun book. I think that's kind of summarised what Red Dress is about.
Well, it's such a glorious read, and I hope it does every well as the Celestine Prophecy
Thank
did.
You. I hope so too, Teresa.
It speaks very much to the issues of our times, particularly from a woman's point of view, but I think men would get a lot out of this too, and spiritual awakening, what we're here on this planet for, finding meaning, you name it, it's got it, because Bridget, you know, she's researched and experienced many of these things herself. So you're in fine hands if you read this book. I do recommend it, and I'd love your thoughts on it, actually. And actually, Bridget, you're in fine company, because you're only the second fiction author I've had on White Shores, because obviously, being a non-fiction author, I mainly mix with non-fiction authors, and that's the world I know. So, and the first author was a lady called Kim Nash, delightful lady. And I spoke to her, and I like to think this is great because I loved what she was writing about her book. A year or so later, I found out she was nominated for the Kindle Storyteller Award with Claudia Winkleman judging.
Oh,
fantastic. So you're in fine company.
Oh, my goodness. Lead the way.
Yeah. Amazing. You know, she wrote a book called Amazing Grace, which I saw was a combination of the Ghost movie and Bridget Jones.
I'll have to get that and
Bridget Jones. And so I hope The Red Dress does really well. But with fiction, it takes time, doesn't it? You've got to build a following. You've got to raise awareness of your book. And I really hope this podcast helps. And you do lots more interviews, Bridget, about it, because it's really fantastic way to also, my mission is to try and make spirituality engaging and fun, and what better way to do that than to lose yourself in a good book. So thank you, but let's get a bit more serious now. Let's talk about some of the areas that the book touches on, but which you, of course, being a healer and a teacher and an expert in these areas, have a lot of wisdom to share, I'm sure. Let's go for the biggie, consciousness, Bridget. Big question.
Yeah, let's just start huge.
What is it? Why are we talking about it? Why is it the key to everything? And how do we raise our consciousness?
Well, a really fabulous question, Teresa. I think we've got to look at a wider definition of consciousness for a start off. Because I think probably we think of consciousness as being alive and walking around, and if you're unconscious, you're in the boxing ring or you're on an operating table. But that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about higher consciousness and raising consciousness. And for me, consciousness is sort of almost the substance of the universe, or the universes, because we live in an infinite cosmos with many, many layers of consciousness. So really, consciousness is life. And we know that even in a crystal, there's a consciousness. I know that you work a lot with angels and your book's about angels, and angels are another level of consciousness. And even within angels, there are angels and archangels and different levels of consciousness. And then we have things like orbs and all kinds of different life forms, if you like, or intelligence forms, I would say. So I think that the consciousness is everywhere that creation is. It's almost an emanation of the light, of a higher light, which itself is carrying consciousness, love, and the codings of life. And so our evolution is based on consciousness. We can only evolve as a species if we unlock our hearts and minds to something more than our five senses can see. And even if we look at a very basic level, the consciousness of somebody is going to determine how they act in a particular situation, how they deal with circumstances, how they deal with their life. I like to liken it to, imagine that if you had a big tall apartment block of flats. If you're living in the basement, you won't see as much as if you're living on the top floor. It's just a fact, of a structural fact. And I like to think of that as consciousness, really. If you're at the lowest level of consciousness, you may not be seeing quite as much as if you're at the highest level. And so spiritual awakening, for me, whatever path you want to take, however you want to see that, and everybody's path is completely unique to them, by the way, you've got to find that yourself. And that's what part of the bone circle is about. But that path, with most people, is taking them step by step up the spiral staircase to the top of that building. Some people have an epiphany or an awakening, and they're able to take the lift right the way up to the top. But one way or the other, in fact, it's more than a block of flats because it's infinite. So for me, the whole purpose of life really is to learn and grow. Our soul came here to learn things, to grow, and to grow in consciousness and awareness of more. And I think the more conscious we become, the more we become aware of, for example, how everything's connected. We become more aware of the planet and what we're doing to it. We become more aware of the quantum field. We become more aware of how our thoughts create the story we tell ourselves. We become more aware of how our actions affect other people. So all of this is to do with consciousness. So for me, it's like the key thing to the evolution of humanity. And so it's a fascinating subject, and you can take it into quite a scientific way, and you can take it into a spiritual way. So it's almost where spirituality and science meet.
Wow, I wish I could have you here with me when I'm writing and have that wisdom flowing through me, Bridget. Thank you so much, because you just summarized it so beautifully. I mean, I asked you such a huge question, but that was I'm going to re-listen to that several times, and I urge listeners to go back and listen to that again. That was soul food. Thank you so much. Can I ask you another biggie?
Yes.
Because this is not more interesting.
Yeah, please do.
Interesting, your perspective on intuition. What's that? How do we tap into it? What's the difference between anxiety and intuition, or positive thinking and intuition? How all this, just intuition, please. Just,
okay, let's go for intuition. So again, huge part of my journey and also part of the Bone Circle training to tap into that will. Intuition goes beyond thoughts and feelings. So, you know, we can have feelings about things. Oh, I feel a bit scared about going to live in Cape Town when I've never been there before. We can have a thought about things. Oh, I'm not sure about what's going on over there. So I think that's where anxiety comes in. We all have, okay, let's backtrack a bit. We all have, I believe, two aspects to us. It's like the yin and the yang, really. We've got the small programmed conditioned self, and we've got the larger luminous spiritual being. And it is that spiritual being having a human experience. But I kind of feel that it's the greater self is who we really are. And the small, and we have a small self to operate through and fully express through. And that greater part of us, that luminous soul self, that spiritual part of us, is the modus operandi of that, if you like, the language of that part of us is intuition. And it's constantly trying to tap us on our shoulder and get our attention and tell us things. Intuition comes in a flash. It comes as a knowing. We just know. And the problem we have as human beings in this world is that the small self that's trying to keep you safe and is very logical tends to go, oh, no, don't be silly. So anxiety, I think, comes from these 12 core key core beliefs that I work with, which everybody has. And they're things like, I don't feel good enough. I'm not powerful enough. I don't belong. I'm not worthy. I have to control everything. And those things create thoughts and feelings which lead into anxiety very often.
And darkness, my old friend.
Darkness, my friend, exactly. And then we talked about consciousness. So consciousness is, and love and light, really, as a trinity almost, are the ground of our being or the ground state of creation. And so if we think about love, it's not really an emotion. It's a state of being, and all the other things, the darkness, my old friend bits, are the layers that block out that light of light. But when we feel things that are positive, peace, love, joy, all of those things that take us into coherence, those are actually aspects of that consciousness and that love and that light. Intuition is therefore coming from that other space. And it's often when the mind is quiet, because we often get our most intuitive hits when we're walking the dog or having a shower or sitting at the traffic lights waiting for them to change or doing the washing up or something mindless, actually, sitting in the garden, meditating, obviously, and dream state as well. That's when the critical mind, the rational mind, has quietened down. And it allows the right brain, the creative mind, the spiritual mind that's absolutely connected to the heart and connected up to your higher self and your soul and your spirit, allows that part to come in with that intuition. And that can come in as a flash of knowing. It can come in as a whole sentence of, you know, that's spoken, or it could come in as a picture. And one of the things I like to illustrate this with is, probably everybody's had this experience where you're driving from home to work, and it's a very known route to you, and you know exactly the way to get there, and you know exactly how long it's going to take, and you're driving along, and you get the little voice in your ear, in your head, that goes, turn left, and you go, don't be ridiculous, that's the long way round. I need to go straight on. If I go left, I'll get caught round the lanes, and I will get to work late. So you ignore that and you go straight on. And what happens? You hit a roadblock. There's been a terrible accident. Now you can't turn back. Now you're late for work. And you think, I wish I'd listened to that little voice. That little voice is your intuition.
Yeah.
So, but it goes much further than that. It's not just about telling you to turn left. It's also sort of one of the most amazing things. When I arrived in South Africa, it was actually really good weather. I had a fabulous summer the first year, which was 9 years ago now. And I'd sat there on the beach thinking, do you know what? All my life I've been saying to myself, oh, I wish I could live in a warm climate. I wish I could live in a wall. Never did anything about it, never heard it. Sometimes we say these things and we don't realise. And so when you can tap at will into your intuition, you can really use it as your true north and your rock to guide your life as to what it is that you really love, that your heart and soul would sing to.
Oh, I love what you're saying there. You know, as so many of us, you sort of, we wish for things to happen, we hope for them, and we forget the important taking action, isn't it? As I said, there's a wave of interest at the moment in manifesting. You know, the old law of attraction, positive thinking is huge on TikTok right now, videos about it. You can manifest abundance, and it's always that missing step, isn't it? We've actually got to take action. You can't just think yourself into, you know, yeah. And a lot of us wish, hope and pray and long, but you know, you actually need to take small steps each day. And if you're listening to Bridget and thinking, my goodness, she's got such amazing vibes and wisdom, all of this, of course, you can get in The Red Dress, where she channels a lot of this in a fictional story in a really engaging way. So, you know, if you're listening, peoples, and you want to know more, the best way to do that is to check out The Red Dress. But to ask, continue a question, another biggie, meditation. Now, I work a lot with scientists, as you know, and a lot, it seems like they're always coming back to medication as medication, meditation, and meditation as what unlocks this spiritual development as the starting point. But a lot of people, myself included, I'm very open about this, struggle with meditation. Can you explain it and a really simple way to do it?
Yeah, sure. Actually, I just want to backtrack slightly to say that thing you said about inspired action is action. I always use the word inspired action. When we take inspired action, we can both create and manifest. But anyway, let's move on to meditation. I've always said, I've been meditating now since the year 2000. My kids were youngish. I bought a book and read it, and it was the summer. And I remember sitting in the park while they were playing in the park and reading these different things about meditation, and that's how I learned to meditate. And then subsequently after that, I did courses and I did the Vipassana and various other things. So it's been with me for a very long time. And I remember reading in this book, if you meditate for the next 20 years, you know, the rewards, you'll reap the benefits and rewards. And actually now I can look back and say, I've done that. And I can say that it honestly does. Now, I've read a lot of books, I've gone on a lot of courses, and I've learned a lot of different things over my sort of 30 odd years of spiritual work. And I always have said, always, the most important thing is the meditation. And if I only was able to keep one thing, it would probably be the meditation. I mean, sometimes I waver because I also study the Keys of Enoch, and I do find it an incredible and fascinating and powerful, powerful teaching. But then I still go back to no point having anything without the meditation. So I find meditation is the most powerful tool for all kinds, for self-awareness, for change, for healing, to be calm, to tap into intuition.
I hear you. And this is what I'm hearing repeatedly. And I've even been on big podcasts where the host wants me to do a silent meditation before. And my problem is because I'm a fidget and I just get the giggle. I get the giggles. So I've had to find other ways to meditate. I'm wondering that other people like that. I fidget.
No, I hear you. My mother used to call me Bridget the Fidget. So I hear you.
And I just find it funny. I don't know why. I just want
to. It's something you've got to work through. It sounds like a barrier that needs to work through. But listen, the thing you're pointing, I just want to go back. If it was simple to meditate, everybody would be doing it. It's exactly. Not easy. It's like going, oh, I'm going to play the violin. Well, every time I try to play the violin, it makes a squeaky noise. You know, yes, because you've only just started. Or, I know, I'm going to go and do yoga. Well, I can't do whatever it is with the leg behind the head. No, because you've only just started. And with anything in life, whether that's learning a musical instrument, or whether it's writing, or whether it's going to the gym, or learning Zumba, you've got to learn, and you've got to take those steps. And it's that whole thing about, you know, when you're driving a car and you think you're never going to be able to learn to drive a car when you start, and eventually you become unconsciously competent. And it's a similar thing with meditation. So for me, what I did, because I was also a fidget and I'm a big fast, you know, in Red Dress, Katie drives fast and does everything fast. And that is actually me. That's very autobiographical. So for me to slow down was hugely important to get that balance. And I found it really hard at first. And so all I did was I said, I'm going to sit for 5 minutes and sit still with my eyes closed for 5 minutes And if that's all I can, you know, let whatever happens happen. And that's how I started. And now I can sit for half an hour. Now, some days my mind is still chattering and I can't stop it until the end. And other days I can go straight into that meditative space for half an hour. So it's going to depend on how you are that day. But if you can just sit still and close your eyes and just literally focus on, be mindful of your breathing, literally focus on the nostrils, cooling the air as you breathe in, warm as you breathe out. And then all these other thoughts will come crowding in and you'll think, this is silly. And then you'll start giggling and whatever's going to happen. Did I leave the iron on? What are we having for lunch tomorrow? I must remember to ring so-and-so. You know, all of these things will come crowding in because what's happened is your mind has finally stopped. So the subconscious goes, yeah, great. She's finally stopped. Let's just jump in here now with all these things that she's got to remember or got to do. And it will all come crowding in. And all you do is you just observe it. You don't beat yourself up and go, I can't meditate. I just giggle. All I think about is whether I've got what I've got for the supper tomorrow. You just acknowledge that this is coming up and you watch it and you just go, oh yeah. And then you acknowledge it and then you let it go. And then you go back to the breath. And then another thing comes in and you acknowledge it, let it go back to the breath. Sometimes when I was on my journey at the beginning, I used to cry when I was meditating. I'd suddenly burst into tears and I think, what am I crying about? And it was just something coming up to be healed. So the laughing and the giggling, sometimes we laugh and giggle because there's something that's self-conscious or because you find it funny. But just allow yourself to laugh. Just laugh. Just allow yourself.
I have found actually with me, it's like if I'm walking or listening to music or certainly writing my books, I kind of like feel like that's a meditation for me. I find that's how I do it, maybe in different ways. I guess we all find our own way to find that stillness.
Yeah, I think you're right that there are things we do that kind of bring us home to ourselves and put us in a flow state, which is meditative, like walking, gardening, playing a musical instrument, writing. They are, because we're using the creative brain, and so we go into a flow state, and that is meditative, and it's also very fulfilling, it's nourishing. But I think the stillness is something different, and I do think that if people really are fidgety, and it's probably a good meditation would be something like Qigong or Tai Chi or walking meditation.
I love Tai Chi.
Yeah.
I love Tai Chi. So, that's something I'd like to be, you know, if you see someone in a park, it's me.
doing your beautiful Tai Chi and not giggling.
No, promise, Bridget. But, I'm going to throw another really tough one for you now. Okay. Question. But I think you can take it. You really can. You're amazing. Who are we? And why are we here? What are we here to do?
We're here to birth a new earth. So who we really are, we are sparks of the divine, however you want to call that. And it really doesn't matter what tradition you come from. It really doesn't matter whether you want to call that source or the divine or God or Yahweh or whatever you want to call the source of life. We are those drops in the ocean. We are those sparks of light, of sparks of consciousness, sparks of love. In scripture, it says that we're made in the image and similitude, in the image and likeness. It doesn't mean, and there's a little bit in Red Dress about this, it doesn't mean that God's a kind of, you know, bearded Father Christmas sitting up there on the clouds. No, it means that it's a creative, loving mind force, if you like. And we are created with a loving mind force, which can create. We are creators because we're born of creator. So we are creative beings. We're pure creative spiritual beings of light and love, which is a part of the whole of creation. I think that's who we really are. And we're our own individualized part of that. So you, Teresa, and me, Bridget, we are our own individual spark, which is expressing uniquely through us, because whoever we are, we will have a unique set of skills, talents, passions, joys, beliefs. The way that you write is going to be completely different to the way anybody else writes. The way somebody paints is different to the way somebody else does. What fills them with joy is different. And it's as if there's a space that's been created within the universe for us to grow into. And if we need to then uniquely express that divinity with great joy. For me, joy is love in action. So we're expressing that pure spark of life, light, consciousness, love, creation, divinity. We're expressing all of that through this small self that we have that has a whole set of skills and talents and a purpose. And in expressing that, not only does it lift us up and make us joyous and give us nourishment, it's also giving to others. Because you and I right now probably do, I love doing this interview with you. I'm sure you love doing the podcast. You wouldn't do it. But it's filling us up with great, creating joy. But as the listeners listen to it, it has a ripple effect. So as we step into what we're here to do, who we are, there's a ripple effect. And it goes into service of humanity. And it's as if we're creating this huge, I know there's the thing about the tapestry and the knots, but I would like to think of it more as a massive multidimensional jigsaw puzzle. And you are your unique piece of that jigsaw puzzle. And if you're not playing your part, there's a hole in the jigsaw, there's a hole in the bigger picture. But also, that's, I think, who we are. And ultimately, I think we're here to go back to source, to eventually evolve and evolve and evolve through many, many stages back to source. So one of the teachings that I still teach and am avid about and absolutely love it is the Keys of Enoch. And there's a line in the Keys of Enoch that says we are all doomed to perfection, which I love, which basically means it doesn't matter how many times you come back here or where you are or what you're doing. Eventually we'll go back to the full glory of who we truly are, which I think we get glimpses of when we talk to people who've had near-death experiences, for example.
Absolutely. Wow. Bridget, thank you for your eloquence, wisdom, intelligence, insight. I could go on, and the list, I'm looking at my notes here, we could literally do episode after episode. Your knowledge is so vast, so I hope you're going to return again.
I hope you're going to invite me, because it's been such fun. Thank you so much.
touch the tip of it here. There's just so much here, and it's really fantastic to talk to you. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask you some three rapid fire questions now, just some fun, lighthearted ones, again, to get to know you better. And I hope more insights come from that. But before that, can you just repeat again where people can get hold of your book and how they can find out about you or contact you if they feel inspired to do so, which I'm sure they will do.
Thank you. Red Dress is available just about anywhere books are sold. You can get it from Waterstones, you can get it from Amazon, you can get the Kindle or the paperback. If you go to johnhuntpublishing.com, which is the publisher, and you search for Bridget Finclair Red Dress, it will give you links to where you can buy it, both in the US and in Europe and England. Or you can go to my website, which is www.bridgetfinclair.com. Unusual name, BRIDGETF for Freddie, INKLAIRE. And on my website, there's a page about Red Dress, and there are links on there to where you can buy it. And there's also a page that talks about the Bone Circle. There will be more coming for the Bone Circle, because I'm in the process of upgrading it.
So we can didn't delve online. Into the Bone Circle.
That's because, all right.
That's another podcast, I think, but I just love it. It almost feels like it should be a movie title or a book title. Or, you know, I can see, you know, forensic psychologists. It's just brilliant. But thank you. And you do, if people message you or email you, do you have time to respond, or are you able to do that?
Very good question. I've been a little bit under the weather health-wise, so I haven't been on top of all my emails, I have to admit it, but I do get back to you. I will get back to you. It may not be immediately, but if you go to my website, there's a contact form. You can contact that. I will receive it, and I will get back to you. Yes, and you can email me as well. It's bridget@bridgetfinclair.com, but just be mindful that I do have quite a lot of emails floating around, and it is just me. So, I wish there was three of me and I had six arms, you know, but that's not the case. So, it may take a little bit of while to get back to you, but certainly I will get back to you. And if you want to go onto my newsletter as well, I will contact you when anything significant happens, like book signings or the next book, because it's part of a trilogy, or when the Bone Circle's finally up and running, the new one online. So, yeah, please contact me.
Thank you, Bridget. Thank you. And do encourage you to seek out this very wise lady. We need more like her in the world. But now your three questions. First of all, is there a recent dream you've had that has maybe inspired you, or decoding it, understanding it better has inspired you? Second question is your sun sign. Has it helped you understand yourself better at any point in your life? What do you feel about that? Because there's an explosion of interest in astrology at the moment. Especially since COVID. And then finally, that 12 days of Christmas, or 12 days of spirit, as I call it, as this podcast is non-denominational. Is there a symbol in there? I'll just run through them quickly. We've got the partridge, the turtle doves, the French hens, the calling birds, the golden rings, the geese are laying, the swans are swimming, the maids are milking, the ladies dancing, the lords are leaping, the piper's piping, and the drummer's drumming. Is there a symbol in all that that resonates with you? And what on earth does that song mean?
Okay. Oh, shall I start in order? Let's start dream. With the dream. So interestingly, I used to dream a lot, and I've had a lot of sleep issues, which is part of why I'm quite a little bit run down. And there's nothing serious, but because I've had sleep issues, I haven't been dreaming as much as I used to. But I do get a lot of visions when I'm meditating. However, interestingly, in Red Dress, there's a whole thing about her dreams, and she keeps a dream diary. And there's one where there's a dilapidated old house, and that gets interpreted by her therapist. And I did genuinely used to have dreams about dilapidated old house. I didn't get rescued as she does, but I used to have these dreams, and I knew it was something to do with my psyche or my body or my health. Recently, I have had a dream. This was a couple of days ago, actually, where I was in this big old house, and there was a false wall, and the false wall was taken away, and behind it we could see all the original brickwork and all the original windows that had been blocked up. And it was fascinating for this to be revealed. It was like another facet to be revealed. And because I've been working on my health, there's been, I'm like a detective with things. I like to get to the bottom of what's gone on, and how did this happen, and how do I fix things, you see, and how do I resolve this? And I finally got some pieces of the jigsaw around my health. And it felt like something had been revealed to me that was going to enable me to restore my body, my health, my well-being. Because I could see it all there, and it was all laid bare. So that's how I interpreted that dream. So it's inspired me actually to feel positive and enthusiastic about getting back to my former level of energy and health and well-being and strength. So that was really nice. So that's the dream. The sun sign, it's funny, I've never been a big one for astrology. Because even as a child, I used to think, well, you know, I'm a Pisces, and which I think, I suppose, is inspiring, because Pisces are supposed to be all sort of dreamy. And I used to think, well, I'm not really dreamy, but
it's
I am.
It's a spiritual sign, isn't it?
I mean, it's a spiritual sign, yeah. So in a way, it's true. But I kind of used to think, well, is a 1/12 of the population like that? What I think is probably my own perspective more useful is if you actually get someone to interpret your chart properly and have a look at how it's all really happening as a personal reading. I think that can be extremely powerful, to look at, you know, what's happening with your moon sign, your sun sign, and your ascending, and where is Chiron, and all of the weather planets, and what that happened means. And I also love numerology, and I also have always been, had more affinity with the Chinese astrology, so I love those. I think the animal
what
ones,
are you in Chinese astrology?
I'm a tiger.
A tiger. Yeah. Oh, brilliant. I love the fact that you're Pisces, because I'm Aries, so we've got the top and tail.
Oh, yes, we've got the circle. So, yeah,
and I'm a snake. Snake and a tiger, so this is interesting. And then finally, your choice of symbol in that very strange song.
Yeah, I think it's the, is it the ladies dancing?
Okay,
why? Well, for start off, it's nine. And you'll see in Red Dress, she loves 3, 6, 9, and 11. And 9 happens to be my life path and one of my favourite numbers. 3 is my favourite number, and 3 times 3 is 9. So I love 9. That's the first thing. And it's the end of a cycle, isn't it, before you go back to 1 at the 10. But also, I absolutely love dancing. It's one of my passions, any kind of dancing. And I used to lead a conscious dance thing. So that's the dancing. And it's the ladies, and it's the, we're ready for the rise of the divine feminine. We've got to bring in the feminine back into balance with the masculine. So that's what I would go for.
I love it. Bridget, on that high note, thank you so much for spending your precious time with me today. I really appreciate all you are and do. Thank you so much.
Teresa, bless you. Thank you so much for having me on as a guest. And thank you for all the beautiful work that you're doing in the world. I so appreciate being on here. Thank you.
Thank you from my heart and soul for being here and walking beside me in spirit on white shores. Sensitive, kind, compassionate souls like you who see beyond the material are needed more than ever today to help this earth heal and evolve. If you have any questions, stories, or insights to share, I absolutely love hearing from you and aim to reply to everyone in due course. My website is www.teresachung.com. My contact email is angeltalk710@aol.com. And you can message me via my Instagram handle, The Teresa Chung, as well as my Facebook and Twitter author pages. Until we meet again on these white shores, keep being amazing spiritual you, sending my eternal love and gratitude.